Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
I'll never forget that moment, Curtis. They should have put the other part afterwards. You know, what was on that promo afterwards. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Okay. So quick little rundown of the show. Pedro Mora from The Athletic. Talk a little bit of Dodgers. He's got a good article right now. Best Dodger season this century, from Sheffield to Kershaw to Bellinger. Evan Daniels from 24/7 Sports. Kind of some interesting stuff that developed today. And some big news for the G League. They're emerging as appealing paths for elite prospects. So I'll get into that around 7 o'clock or so. And then we'll do our senior shout-out. So senior shout-out that we've been doing for almost 2 weeks now. So that will continue. So to start off the show, first of all, let me say this. These games with Mason and Ireland. Man, these games. I got 7 on their fast-track questions. I can't listen to fast-track in the 5 o'clock hour. What is going on here? They got me doing all these things that I have no idea about when it comes to some of these music and actors and actresses. I got to round up my game, but let's start with this. So I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear Shaq. Listen, if Shaq's talking about beating the Chicago Bulls, the documentary's coming out this Sunday, The Last Dance. You got Stephen A. Smith, Kellerman all chiming in. You got people on Twitter all chiming in. And we're talking Shaq and Kobe against the Chicago Bulls. Of course, I'm going to talk about that. Let me play this clip real quick. Here's Shaquille O'Neal, who I think this was maybe a day and a half ago or so, but it really kind of started picking up some steam today. Listen to Shaq real quick on his thoughts of whether he thinks the Lakers team with Kobe Bryant would have a chance to beat the Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Phil Jackson, Dennis Rodman, 98 Bulls team. Here's Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes, easily, yeah.
Why?
Because I would have killed Luke Longley, Bill Winning, Cartwright, yeah. So the factor is me and my free throw shooting. So, okay, another question is, our Lakers in their prime and Chicago in their prime, who is Phil Jackson with? Is he with us or is he with them?
I think he's with them because he was with them first.
So he would have tried the Hacker Shack thing, which I still would have averaged my 28, 29, but the key would have been the free throws. So, you know, with me, it's always 50-50, so hopefully I would have been on. If I'd been on, we win. If I'd been off, we lose. But, you know, I love having these conversations. They would have did this, we would have did that. But I can strictly say I think we would have beat them.
All right, that's Shaquille O'Neal right there. So, listen, I know we could sit here for a very, very long time and play out every different scenario of these different eras, these different teams, these different players, these different coaches. And it's impossible. It really, really is. It's impossible to try and figure out, was Magic's team in the 80s better than the Golden State Warriors in 2017 with KD and Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green? Was the Celtics back, you know, when the Bill Russell days, was it better than a Philadelphia 76ers team with Julius Erving, Dr. J? Like, for us to do that, it's obviously impossible, but it is fun to have some of those dialogues and those conversations. I wouldn't bring it up unless Shaquille O'Neal said what he did about defending the Los Angeles Lakers. And there's, you know, there's fair questions out there. Who would be the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers? Would it be Phil Jackson, or would Phil Jackson be with the Bulls? Probably with the Chicago Bulls, just because that's where he originally started. And we can go up and down and play out these scenarios. And a lot of this conversation only comes up now simply because that documentary coming up on Sunday, which, by the way, 6 to 8 o'clock on ESPN, it's the first two episodes of a 10-part series. It goes from 6 to 8. After that, myself and Sedano will do a little post-recap of what we got to watch. We'll do it on the Periscope, on ESPN Los Angeles, but on Periscope. So a lot of this is circling around that documentary coming up. So a lot of the content and the conversations right now in sports is leading up to that documentary, and it's taken us back to those days in 98. And then you're going to have competitors like Shaquille O'Neal, who knows how dominating of a player he was back in his time, he's going to chime in and look at those three finals that he won with Kobe, those back-to-back-to-backs. He's going to know the teams that he went through to get to the NBA Finals. And then once you got to the finals, it was a wrap. That you won the Western Conference, you were going to win an NBA championship. The Lakers obviously did that, and they did it 3 years in a row. Of course, a guy like Shaq's going to think when he was the most dominating player in the NBA, of course he's going to think in his mind that he's got a shot to go up against any team, any era, any time. Why wouldn't he? That's how great Shaquille O'Neal was during that stage of his career. He was the most dominating player. I think it's kind of irrelevant to say, oh, it's a lock. Lakers would win that series. Or it's a lock. The Chicago Bulls, no question about it, would be a better team than the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't really pay too much attention to. But I want you guys to hear Stephen A. Smith from First Take. And I know if you guys listen to this show, and always appreciate whether you're in your car right now, you're listening on the app. Stephen A. Smith on First Take, he has 100% his own view. There's nobody that has more than the type of opinion, such a loud opinion when it comes to having this take. He's not shy. Let's put it that way. I want you to hear what Stephen A. Smith thought between the Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, Los Angeles Lakers versus a Chicago Bulls team. Here's Stephen A. Smith on First Take.
Kobe, the Lakers in their prime was not even Kobe in his prime. He hadn't arrived yet on that level, as great as he was. He hadn't arrived yet on that level. Not only would the Bulls have smoked Shaquille O'Neal and the Lakers, they might have swept them. Maybe out of respect to Kobe and Shaq, I might have given them one game, but that's about it. Shaq said it best, the free throw shooting, he would have been neutralized. How is this relevant? Because Shaq was a dominant presence in the finals against Houston. It didn't stop them from getting waxed at that particular moment in time. The year after that, Jordan and them, at having lost to Shaquille O'Neal, and then when Jordan came out of retirement and played those 17 games and then lost to Orlando in the playoffs, if you recall, Jordan and the Bulls played Orlando the very next game. Game one of that series, they lost by like 38. They got annihilated by the Bulls. They got swept. Shaq was doing his thing then, but the people around him couldn't measure up to what the Chicago Bulls were throwing at them. I'm saying the same would have been applicable here. The Lakers would have been lucky to win one game. The Bulls would have taken them out easily.
All right, this is comical to me. And listen, I know I'm a diehard Los Angeles Laker fan, and there's nothing better for me personally talking Los Angeles Lakers basketball right here in Los Angeles. Stephen A. Smith thinks the Lakers would get smoked by the Michael Jordan Bulls. I don't know what I'm missing. I got a chance to watch both of those eras. They're not too far apart, right? Michael Jordan was doing his thing. No question about it. The greatest player of all time, in my opinion. No question about it. Scottie Pippen, arguably the most underrated player in the history of the NBA. One of the more underrated players in the NBA. Never gets his proper due because he was behind Michael Jordan. Dennis Rodman, just a beast on defense. One of the best rebounders and defensive players to ever play in the league. You can go down the line. There's Tony Kukoc, that was a great player. Ron Harper, you can go down the line. But that Los Angeles Lakers team that was winning those three championships, that won back-to-back-to-back, that wasn't a joke squad. If you want to say teams that would get smoked, you got to look at, you know, franchises out there that were in the NBA Finals, shouldn't have been there. Maybe an injury happened to another team, something along those lines. But Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, Derek Fisher, Rick Fox, and Robert Horry. By the way, let's just sit real quick on the Lakers role players because Stephen A. Smith said something about the role players. Robert Horry wasn't a fantastic, unbelievable role player. Rick Fox didn't know and understand his role perfectly. Derek Fisher, as clutch as he was in moments, by the way, Horry was as well. Aren't those ideal role players? And on top of that, you have two of the top players in the entire league. They would get smoked by the Chicago Bulls. What am I missing? What am I missing? I will say this. I'm not saying the Lakers are going to beat the Chicago Bulls in a seven-game set, because that's arguably the greatest team of all time. You know, a lot of people will make that argument. We know Jordan's the GOAT. There's just nothing to talk about there. But that Lakers team was special as well. You don't win three championships in a row during that time and think that you're going to get smoked by another team that was just winning championships two, three, 4 years prior to that. I am not in with that whole Lakers would get smoked by the Chicago Bulls. But when I do the show, one of the things I enjoy doing most about the show is when I get a chance to hear from listeners. So I'll give you guys the phone number, 877-710-ESPN. Would the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe have a shot at beating that Bulls team? Or do you agree with Stephen A. Smith, they would have no shot against the Bulls? 877-710-ESPN. We'll take some calls when you guys come back. Also, too, I'll read some of the tweets right now on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa, A-L-L-E-N-S-L-I-W-A. Stay right here. This is The Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Curtis, that's some quick work right there. I just sent you the email to see if you can add this song into the rotation.
I got you.
That's good. That's solid work right there. I appreciate that. Do you guys ever get caught up, by the way, you know, you're on YouTube or on Pandora, and you just end up hearing music, whatever genre you put in, right? You just end up hearing music you've never heard before, and it just hits, you know? And it doesn't even have to be anything that, you know, was released a year ago, 2 years ago. That song I just sent to you right now, Curtis, that's from probably the 70s or 80s or something along those lines.
It's very cool. That happens on Spotify, too. It'll start... It weaves in other artists that you don't listen to, but that sound similar. I know a lot of people that have discovered so much of their, you know, library out of just that.
I was going to say the best way to kind of learn different artists that are sort of familiar with the genre that you like is doing it just that way. So I appreciate you putting that on there. Okay, so this is the conversation that I mentioned right before we went to break. Stephen A. Smith thinks the Lakers would get ran by the Chicago Bulls. The Kobe and Shaq Los Angeles Lakers would get ran by the Chicago Bulls. It's one thing. It's one thing to have in your mind and say, look, it's Michael Jordan, it's Dennis Rodman, it's Scottie Pippen, and Phil Jackson is the coach there. That's the greatest team of all time. But to say they're going to get ran, a team that won three championships in a row, an era and a time where Shaq and Kobe, that was the most dynamic duo in the league, and Shaq was dominating everybody. To say that, and I know, look, I know Stephen A. Smith, he doesn't say things to be disrespectful or anything like that. That's how he feels, and that's what makes Stephen A. Smith Stephen A. Smith. If he's got an opinion, he's not going to shy away from giving his opinion. He definitely gave his opinion today. I just think it's ridiculous. I think it's absurd to think that Kobe and Shaq team wouldn't put up a fight. And if we talk about the role players, you know, we look at some of the role players that the Lakers had. What was wrong with Robert Horry as a role player? How many chips does Robert Horry have? What was wrong with Rick Fox? What was wrong with Derek Fisher, the Brian Shaws of the world? All those players that chipped in for the Lakers had, that's as well balanced of a team as you can have, and that equaled three championships for the Lakers. 877-710-ESPN. Do you think Stephen A. Smith holds merit to the Lakers would get dominated by the Chicago Bulls, the Kobe Shaq versus the Jordan, the Pippen, the Phil Jackson, and everybody else as part of that Bulls organization? Or do you think the Lakers will put up a fight? 877-710-ESPN. I want to read off a couple tweets I got a little bit earlier today. So at DesMonk26, Kobe got 25 for MJ. MJ got 35 for Kobe. Shaq got a 50 burger with Thousand Island dressing for Luke Longley and Dennis the Menace. We'll stick Pretty Ricky on Scotty and live with his 18. And Fish got the lock on Kerr. Kukoach, you get your 15 and be happy. Lakers in six. That is a fantastic, well thought of tweet by DesMonk. Granted, I know there's a lot of Laker fans that follow me, and they're going to be favored towards the Lakers. I don't even need it to be. I mean, nobody's sitting here with an argument, but I feel like it's disrespectful to say that Lakers team would get smashed by the Chicago Bulls. Kellerman had a take as well on First Take. This is his thoughts on how he thinks a series like that would play out.
their best to a seventh game, which no one ever did in the finals. I know what he's thinking. Like, Kobe neutralizes Jordan more or less. They're more or less the same guy. Jordan a little more, but can't get closer to Jordan than Kobe. And then who you got matching up with Shaq, really? But, and by the way, Kobe and Shaq, let's take their best season, Stephen A., when they went 15-1 through the playoffs versus the 72 Bulls. Let's say Phil Jackson is the coach on both teams. Kobe and Shaq had a really good supporting cast, but my God, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, even guys like Ron Harper playing defense, let alone guys like Tony Kukoc, the Bulls were loaded. They had Michael Jordan. They win.
I want to go to the beginning of what Stephen A. Smith, or what Max Kellerman said. So Kellerman said, maybe seven games at best. Okay, that's much different than they might get swept. That's a big difference between the two there. I'll read off a couple more tweets. Lakers in seven, the 2001 Lakers are the greatest team ever. It took AI's best game ever to beat them. That's Elwood Harvey. At Cal Tony, Lakers in seven, probably six, but out of respect to MJ, I'll say seven. You got to love some of the responses. You can definitely tell that they're Lakers-centric. 0-1, Kobe was a superstar at both ends, would be completely unafraid of the matchup with MJ. No one on the Bulls team could deal with 0-1 Shaq. By the way, no one in the world can deal with 0-1 Shaq. Don't forget about that Shaquille O'Neal in 2000-2001. He only got more dominating over those couple of years. But when he had that chip on his shoulder in 2000, had never won an NBA championship in his career, where that was everything to him to get that monkey off his back, that was the Shaquille O'Neal I'm referring to. Let's take a quick call here. Dave in West Hollywood. Dave, I appreciate you calling into the Sliwa Show. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, how you doing? I would say based on Kobe's desire and Shaq's desire, I think it would be a toss-up. I think it could go seven games either way.
Dave, he said no shot. Lakers would probably get swept. What am I missing here?
Yeah, I think he's a little over the top on that, I mean, for sure. You know, I think Shaq would handle their bigs, and I think Kobe would go. He put Kobe up against Michael. It would be pretty close. I think so.
Dave, I appreciate you calling in. 877-710-ESPN if you want to give your thoughts here. I'll read off one more quick tweet here, and then I want to go back to the documentary that's coming out because it's because of that documentary a lot of this conversation is happening right now. Michael, let's see, it says, at LA Max Management, Lakers 2000 Shaq was unstoppable. I got a lot of no one was stopping Shaq. At Darth Chemist, Lakers, no one stopping Shaq. Literally, that's exactly what he said. Somebody's got a question, quick question. Who does Phil Jackson and Ron Harper play for? They go to the Bulls. Those two should go to the Bulls. And then at Young LeBron 23, it should be the 96 Bulls. That's one of those where we can always go back. But when I hear Shaquille O'Neal give his take on it, I just think that comment by Stephen A. Smith, right when I saw that, Jess and I are planning for the show a little bit earlier today, and he was telling me, make sure you take a listen to what Stephen A. Smith said. And right when I heard it, I was like, yeah, that's going to go ahead and be some type of a topic on the show tonight. Lakers aren't getting ran by the Chicago Bulls. Maybe they lose, but they're definitely, definitely not getting ran. So we got this documentary coming out on Sunday. It's a 10-part series. Bill Laimbeer a couple days ago made some headlines. Shaquille just made some headlines. This is what's going to happen on Sunday, and then imagine when we get back to work on Monday or I won't say get back to work just because everything going on, but when we get back to doing our show on Monday, I'll do Lakers Talk that night. I am so curious to see this documentary, and I have, I guess you could say, a fascination of why they waited this long. Like, they've had this footage for so long. I'm so curious to kind of see all this backstage footage. I'm so curious. I think Jordan said earlier today, he was on Good Morning America. I'll play some of that a little bit later. But in a sense, the conversation with Michael Jordan has been, he thinks the perception of him will be, people won't really truly understand what he's trying to get across and why in 1998 he was as cold-blooded as he was and what that championship meant to him. So I think it's going to be fascinating. By the way, all the other storylines, I'm curious, Phil Jackson's – the Los Angeles Lakers weren't winning championships until Phil Jackson came. The Lakers won five over the course of, I think, 11, 12 years that he was part of the Lakers organization. Maybe – how many years was he with the Lakers? 10, 11 years, something along those lines. I know he left for a couple years. But they didn't win any championships. And there is this stigma behind Phil Jackson and the way he did things. So I think just kind of getting an inside look at what Phil Jackson was like behind the scenes. Dennis Rodman was his own personality. You know, he was completely different. I already mentioned, I think Scottie Pippen's one of the more underrated players in the league. So I can't wait for Sunday's documentary to come out. And that's going to be fun to watch. I don't know if you guys saw this, but earlier today, big, big time news. The number one prospect in college in the 2020 ESPN 100 ranking. He is the number one prospect for 2020. Guess where he's going to school? All right. So what college is he going to go to? Is he going to Duke? Is he going to North Carolina? Is he going to UCLA? Is he going to Kentucky? How about Jalen Green, the number one prospect in the country, is joining the NBA G League's development program? Evan Daniels had an article out yesterday for 24/7, G League emerging as appealing path for elite prospects. Jesse and I chatted about it yesterday, saying we got to get this guy on, kind of what is this path that he's referring to? And we knew that Jalen Green, the number one prospect in the country, we knew there could be a chance that he goes to the G League's development program. That's exactly what he's going to be doing. And Evan Daniels is coming up next. He can kind of explain what is going on, why a player of that caliber is going to skip out on all the NCAA schools, and what this could potentially mean for the G League. So we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Evan Daniels from 24/7 Sports, nice enough to join the Sliwa Show. Evan, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. So yesterday, I know we reached out to you yesterday, and the thought process was to talk about your article, G League Emerging as Appealing Path for Elite Prospects. I don't know if there's a lot of basketball fans that understand and realize, by the way, myself included, I think just the last couple of days I'm learning more about this. Can you explain for those who don't know who Jalen Green is and the significance of his decision today to not join a Duke or a North Carolina or a Michigan or a UCLA to actually be a part of the G League's development program?
Well, I think it's big for the G League. It's something that they've been working on for a while. They started this initiative two years ago, and Rod Strickland and Sharif Abdul-Rahim have been out scouting, evaluating players, and trying to convince guys to join their program. The initial investment for that was going to be $125,000 a kid. Well, that didn't work. It wasn't enough money for the elite-level players. In fact, last year, R.J. Hampton chose to go to the NBL because of the opportunity to make more money. And so what happened was the G League raised the stakes. They upped the ante. And Jalen Green, you know, is going to sign a deal that's worth right around $500,000, and that's not including endorsements. So this was a big deal for the G League. In terms of college, I don't know if we know the full impact it's going to have. I do think that we're going to look, you're going to look back and see, you know, a handful of players look to go to this path or look to go overseas every year. But as a whole, it's not going to impact college basketball on a major scale, but I do think that we're going to college basketball is going to lose out on some star power each and every year.
So I think that's probably my question. My question is this is direct competition to NCAA or the Australian League, the one that LaMelo Ball played in, right? He's in the Australian Basketball League. So this is, I guess this is the question that I'll ask then. Why do you think a player, is it just coming down to financial reasons why a player says, I don't want to play on one of these top programs. I want a chance to make some money. $500,000 is an incredible amount of money for any athlete out there, but is the bigger picture also now you can sign an endorsement deal, you can have a shoe deal, is it things along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the mind of a high school athlete, an elite-level high school athlete, is changing and evolving. And the truth is these kids don't value education like they did 10 years ago. And the people around them don't value education like they did 10 years ago. Now it's about getting to the money and getting to be a professional athlete and getting there as quickly as possible. And that's the mindset. And if Jalen Green, who can make $500,000 off of the G League and then parlay that with a $500,000 or $750,000 shoe deal, well, then you're talking about an 18-year-old kid that just got $1.25 million to go spend a year in the G League instead of going to college where he's not going to get paid. So I think that's where the shift has developed.
You mentioned that you don't think it's a – do you not think it's a threat to college basketball? Just the threat in the sense of more star players start seeing the route Jalen's taking and decide, Jalen Green's taking and decide, you know what? Yeah, it would be amazing to go to a university and be a part of this big program and be in front of all these fans, but I'm going to go get paid. Do you think NCAA fears that at all?
Well, I think that they probably fear losing the top tier guy, but they haven't done anything to combat what the NBA or the NBL is doing. And I think that they're okay with losing a handful of guys every year because, like, as of now, they haven't put together a plan that's going to allow players to make money playing NCAA basketball. Until that comes to fruition, I think we're going to continue to see this happen. Now, I think the other thing is that we've got to pay close attention to is I think this is just a precursor to Adam Silver opening this thing up and getting to a none and done where kids don't have to go to college anymore.
Mm-hmm. We're getting an opportunity to talk to Evan Daniels from 24/7 Sports, joins the Sliwa Show, G League emerging as appealing path for elite prospects. What do you think? Where do you think the G League is 5 years from now? If this was, you know, when we started the interview, you mentioned this was a big step for the G League. This was, you know, certainly you're getting the number one prospect who's going to go through your ranks to get to the NBA rather than go through the NCAA route. What's the vision for the G League specifically as we look at this initiative, this G League development program? Where do you think it is in 5 years?
Well, that's a great question, and keep in mind that we're kind of seeing it evolve and change in real time and right before our eyes. This program that Jalen Green is going to be part of is more going to be a select team. He's not joining a particular G League team. They're creating another team in Southern California. My understanding is it's likely going to be in L.A. and trying to get a handful of high school kids. Now, what it's going to do is it's going to give NBA teams a good look at these players. They're going to be able to evaluate them in different settings. So it's going to give them a good look. Now, to answer your question fully, where will this sit in 5 years? That's a good question. I think that there's a pretty good chance that in 5 years, kids are going to be allowed to go straight out of high school to the NBA.
I think the interesting part is, too, when I was first reading the story, that's the question I was asking myself. I'm like, oh, okay, so whose team is he going to go on? And I think probably a lot of people are thinking that as well. Okay, what G League roster is he going to be on? So he won't actually be with a specific team. Can he play in G League games at any point?
I don't think that has been fully determined.
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting path. By the way, I see exactly what Adam Silver is trying to do, and it makes sense. I think that you mentioned, too, is you got a lot of these scouts for the NBA. How easy is it going to be if they get some of these top prospects that are playing within their own league? From a financial basis, so you said it's going to be $500,000 going to him. How do they determine what is it? I think from you said $125,000 is what it was before. Is it just the top prospects? I know there's another prospect out there who's 13th. I think Isaiah Todd, number 13 All-American. He hasn't committed yet, correct? But he might be taking the same footsteps, following in the same footsteps.
Yeah, there's strong inclinations that he's likely headed to the G League. Look, the money is fluid. Not every kid is going to be able to get the same amount of money that Jalen Green got. This makes a splash, but not everybody is going to get that same deal. Keep in mind, he's the depending on where you look, he's number two or number three player in the country. The Evan Mobley, who we currently have number one, was offered a source told me, an awesome package that also included eventually paying for his college when he wants to go back. He opted to turn it down. But like I said, I don't think that every player is going to get this opportunity.
Do you think,
or that type of money?
Sure. No, I know what you're saying. It's obviously he's the top, the cream of the crop. Do you think if more high school players, maybe the one and done is over in a few years, we'll see what eventually happens. But do you think in a sense this could be good for college basketball too? And I'll tell you what I mean by that. You're going to have more players that are going to college to maybe play for multiple years. They're not going to be there for just 1 year. Maybe they're a part of a program, and you get a chance, if you're a university out there, if you're a fan of a certain school, to see that player for 3 years or maybe even 4 years. Do you think that it could almost play to the NCAA's advantage because you can have more familiar faces that are on more stars, I guess you could say, in college that are with one school for a longer period of time?
Yeah, I mean, I think the hit is going to be the star power of the top 5 to 10 players that they're going to lose. But conversely, I think that if a kid has to stay in college for multiple years, then there's an opportunity for those players to really develop further, get better, and provide more continuity on a college basketball team and have more familiar faces around for a little bit longer time.
The Australian League that's been a popular alternative. Is this a hit for them that there's now this – You have this G League opportunity that maybe wasn't there, at least in this capacity. Does this hurt a league like the Australian League?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the pandemic is also hurting it. You know, I don't think there's a lot of kids that want to go across the pond right now because of what's going on in our world. But yeah, I think if the G League is stepping up this initiative and saying, hey, we don't want the kids in the United States going to the NBL. We want them to stay close to home. Honestly, I think it's what really woke the G League up in terms of paying more money. Yeah, I think it certainly hurts the league.
Yeah, it sounds like it's unique. I mean, listen, I'm as big of a NBA fan as they come, and to see that, and I think the way you probably described it is the best way to say it. It's a fluid situation, right? So I don't think there's still a lot of questions that are unanswered when it comes to how the G League and how this all develops. But I think it's a fascinating story. I was excited to bring you on. I thought your article was great, number one. And number two, personally, I had a lot of questions because I feel like it's uncharted water. And do you feel that's the same thing? Do you feel like there's a lot of NBA fans or sports fans out there are still kind of trying to figure out how all this stuff is working and what that relationship is with the G League?
Well, 100%, because I don't think we have all the details yet. And they haven't been, you know, the G League, this information is just coming out in the last couple of days about the actual numbers that they're able to offer certain kids. And for the right kid, they'll pay more. And what the select team will exactly look like hasn't been outlined. So there's a lot of questions. There's more questions than answers right now, for sure.
Well, let's do this, man. If down the road we get some more information, we'd love to have you back on. But I appreciate you for joining the show, taking a few minutes and explaining your article. Evan Daniels, 24/7 Sports, G League emerging as appealing path for elite prospects. Evan, thanks for the time, man.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you for the kind words, too. Have a great day.
Sports. I actually do think, believe it or not, even though college basketball loses the number one ranked prospect to the G League, I actually feel like this could be of benefit to college basketball. I'll explain what I mean coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Twitter, at Alan Sliwa. Alyssa Tan, varsity lacrosse athlete from Saugus High School in Santa Clarita. She will come on at 7:45. So we'll continue to highlight all these high school players, high school seniors, college seniors. We'll do that tonight. We'll do that tomorrow. That's been actually a great part of the show the last couple of weeks. Great to kind of hear and listen to some of these students. Okay, so you know, a couple things stood out to me, and I don't want to just change topics or anything like that. Evan Daniels, 24/7 Sports, G League emerging as appealing path for elite prospects. So Jalen Green, the number one prospect in the country, is joining the NBA's G League development program. I don't think this is small news at all, and it obviously hit on ESPN, and it definitely made some news that this player is going to have an opportunity to make $500,000 as part of this one-year development program with these elite prospects that the G League is trying to build. On top of that, he's going to have opportunity for shoe endorsements. I don't know what else, you know, is on the table there, but in a weird way, I feel like this could be a win for both sides. Evan mentioned that he thinks it's different than 10 years ago where maybe education was valued more. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case at all. I think here's the bottom line. If I was 18 years old, you don't know what others' financial situation is. You don't know their background. You don't know where they come from. You don't know if their family is struggling to make ends meet. You have no idea. I know for me, if I, at 18 years old, as much as I value education, as much as I loved going to college, went to San Diego State University, as much as those were some of the best memories of my life, if I'm walking out of high school and somebody's cutting me a $500,000 check and I got an opportunity to go make more endorsements doing something else, most of my purpose of going to college is to go land myself a job. Most of the reasoning to go to college is to give yourself a better opportunity to go make some money, to go get that job that you want to get, to have that career path. So somebody is looking at your resume and saying, okay, cool. So you studied this for 4 years. Fantastic. We think you'd be good at our bank. We think you'd be good at a union worker, whatever it is, right? Whatever industry that you want to get in. But if you can bypass that and start collecting your checks early on, you do have a head start in the game. Because what you can do eventually is go back and get your degree. For these athletes, these basketball players, I'm not saying that Jalen Green, the number one prospect in the country, isn't going to eventually get paid. But like I said, you don't know what everybody's position is. You don't know what their circumstances are. So I disagree with Evan saying that. From an education perspective, maybe it was valued more before. I think every single day there are people that go to school and maybe they value the education, maybe they don't. Maybe they just think this is one thing that's got is in the way of me eventually going out there to make some money. And I know if you're an athlete, it could be under even different circumstances, because if you feel like you got a chance to be in the league, and if you're 18 years old and you're old enough to go fight in a war, then you should be old enough to go make your own decision and you know, decide to play basketball, play pros, whatever the case is. But what the NBA has done by creating this G League development program and actually giving players, big-time players, Jalen Green is at number 65 on ESPN's top 100 list. He's not number 92. He's not number 35. He's the number one prospect in the country. He's joining the G League. I don't think this is small news. I really don't. But I think there's something to this. I think for college basketball, it's easy to just kind of have that knee-jerk reaction and say, you know what? This is going to be awful for college basketball. All these top prospects are going to start leaving. You know why I don't watch college basketball on a consistent basis? And this is me. You won't find a bigger basketball fan than me. It's too tough to follow. Like, I might follow just my school. If you went to UCLA, there's a good chance you're going to follow UCLA basketball. But are you really going to pay attention to Oregon? Are you going to pay attention to Arizona State? Are you going to pay attention to USC? You might look at the standings and see where your school is in the Pac-12, in the Pac-12 conference. But are you going to consistently follow these other schools? My biggest issue is I don't know who the hell any of these players are. And every single year, by the time 1 year is over, it's a whole new crop of students. I can't follow anybody. I can't track which player is on which school or is represented by which school. Some of those players leave. Another guy went to Europe, this, that. I can't really follow it. The one and done is eventually going to go away, in my opinion. The NBA, and you heard Evan Daniels mention it, eventually you have a feeling that the one and done forcing students to stay. This has always been my thought on this. If they stayed for 2 years, I'd be okay with that. If they were forced to go to college for 2 years, if the NCAA and the NBA agreed to that, I think it would make the product of the NCAA better, and I think we would actually have some consistency of stars. Imagine if Zion's coming back for his second year. Imagine if Trae Young was coming back for his second year. I'm just using those players as examples because they were such high draft picks. But if it's not going to be 2 years and they leave in their first year and they go straight to the NBA G League or they're going overseas to play in Australia or some of that other stuff, I mean, what are you going to do? They are going to miss the experience. There's something about being with a college program, but there's also something to having your student athletes stay at the school for more than 1 year. There's also something to every single year, if I'm looking at some of these other schools and I'm like, okay, that's the same, almost the same roster that was there last year, it might grow on me. There might be some continuity that that is of benefit to the NCAA. I know they don't want to lose the star talents, but we can, you know, I could sit here until I'm blue in the face and talk about how the NCAA, they're not paying the athletes to begin with, yet they're profiting off all of them. So I don't want to have that argument and that conversation. But I do feel like this is an interesting predicament for the NCAA. I really do. I think there's something there that's going to, that can most definitely be of benefit to not just the G League. This is humongous for the G League, but I think for the NCAA, if they lose out on some of these athletes, and now you have more athletes staying in school for a longer period of time, still trying to make the league, but you also got these students that are there for a longer period of time, you might have more interest because there's actually familiar faces that you see on a game-to-game basis. Jess, we hit on this when we were kind of prepping on this conversation. First of all, I was so confused the last 2 days of what was going on with this G League and how they were going to grab the number one prospect. But do you kind of see my point of what I'm saying about college players? Like, what if you get to see the same players over and over again? I might follow that team more or that conference more because there's some familiarity. If that's not the case, I'm only watching during March Madness.
I mean, yeah, you're creating more stability within these college teams, so it's not, you know, You're going to get these, you know, the Dukes, the North Carolinas. They're probably, no matter what, going to be good because they recruit Kentucky. Well regardless. Mm-hmm. Kentucky, yeah. But, you know, every now and then, like when D. Rose was at Memphis, Kemba Walker at UConn when he won the championship, you're going to have more of these teams, you know, with – because a big thing in basketball that is underrated, I feel, is chemistry. And if you're going to have a team that's, you know, full of – 2 year, 3 year, 4 year players, you're gonna have a lot of chemistry. You're gonna see a lot more teams chemistry. Be able to develop. They're gonna develop, mm-hmm. So they're gonna be able to have, you know, rhythm and flow, and it's gonna look better. It's not gonna be just, you know, because college basketball, a lot of times it just seems like a group of 10 running back down the court.
I'll say this, Jess. I'm gonna hop in real quick. So you said. You said Kemba Walker. You just mentioned Kemba Walker. If you said, Alan, what is one of the worst sports memories you have at being at an event? Would you believe Kemba Walker is in that mix? Do you know what I'm talking about there or no?
I have a little bit, but I don't.
Curtis, any idea?
It's not coming to me.
Curtis, any
idea?
No,
I can't think of any.
Okay, so it was San Diego State versus Connecticut, in the Sweet 16 in Anaheim. I went to that event, right? That's where I went to school. I went to San Diego State University. I'm going to just go down memory lane real quick, okay? And this just shows you. This shows you Kemba Walker. The dude was the man in college, okay? The absolute man in college. San Diego State, who, let me remind you, you know, San Diego has a theme of just not winning anything. That's kind of what they're known for when it comes to sports. And this is, by the way, the Kawhi Leonard years of San Diego. Kawhi went to San Diego State University. San Diego State had like a 6-point lead against Connecticut in that Sweet 16 game. And there's probably, I don't know, 7-8 minutes left in the game. One of our players, I think it was Jamal Franklin or something like that, decided to bump shoulders with Kemba Walker, like trying to punk him. Okay? This was right before timeout. Not only does he get a technical for doing that, Kemba scores 40 in the game. First of all, Kemba got bumped and he just started laughing. I don't know about you guys, but if anybody has that kind of reaction, that's not good. Like if you bump somebody or you're trying to egg somebody on, right? If their response is a laugh, that's not a good sign. Kemba comes back, puts up 40 points. The entire arena, because it's in Anaheim, San Diego's only an hour and a half drive. You had a lot of San Diego State fans that drove up. It was just silence in that arena. Kemba Walker just shut everybody up. That's my memory of Kemba Walker. That's it. It's the only memory that I have of him.
So it's fitting that he's now a Boston Celtic.
Now it's so much easier to dislike him even more. Actually, you know what's funny? He's not one of those players, like, he's not annoying. You know, you find some players annoying. I find Harden, just his style of basketball, annoying. I think Kyrie Irving's a prima donna, but I don't pay too much attention to Kemba's not nearly that kind of style. Okay,
tolerable. He's tolerable.
He's tolerable. Tolerable is the perfect word. So Caesars put out their win totals. How crazy is that? Vegas is still not open. The strip of Las Vegas is closed. Caesars put out their win totals and playoff odds for all 32 teams. How many wins do you think the Rams, do you think the Chargers are supposed to have? I'll even throw in the Raiders there because I know there's a lot of Raider fans here in LA. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, attention business owners, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, many businesses have insurance to cover for their business interruption, but their insurance carriers are wrongfully denying their claims. The attorneys at the Wallace firm are stepping up for the businesses in our community, and they're already fighting on behalf of schools, gyms, restaurants, bars, doctors, lawyers, and many other industries. The Wallace firm can help you. I want to give you guys a phone number, and if this applies to you, if you're a small business out there, if you're out here in Southern California, actually doesn't matter what size business that you are, but if you want the Wallace firm to review your insurance policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for operating expenses and or lost revenue, it's an absolute free consultation. See if they can help. You have absolutely nothing to lose. Maybe the Wallace firm can help you. Get that free consultation. See if your insurance carriers are wrongfully denying their claims. The phone number is 844-844-WINS, 844-844-WINS, or visit wallacewins.com.